Well, in the hot seat now.
Huh, it's hot.
Kevin Quinn and Corey Robin, they are part of the Flying Cowboys, and they do all sorts of things, including backcountry flying, little environmental work, lots of fun. And, gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you. Yeah, so much.
Truly.
We're having a great time.
So what's happened so far?
We're here at church. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh.
We're preaching the gospel. We're talking aviation to everybody that we can get our hands on. It's incredible.
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about the what you're doing here in the Flying Cowboys, and how this movement is all kind of just steamrolled through.
First and foremost, we're here for the Twilight Fest,
right?
Over at the Ultralight Field, performing every night at 8 o'clock. This evening is our last performance. I encourage everybody to come check us out. Corey and I have a little rivalry going back and forth with each other because we fly the same airplanes, and he's Ying, I'm Yang. You know, we kind of follow around.
I got him beat so far overall by only 3 feet. So if you want to see how this all plays out, 8 o'clock, Ultralight Field, be there. Tell your friends. Come and watch us fly some short takeoffs and landings at the Twilight Flight
Fest. He's getting me on takeoffs. I'm getting him on landings. So we have this rivalry. We think about actually switching airplanes and see what happens tonight.
He'll check my body. He's a way better pilot than I am.
But we're having a lot of fun. You know, we've come low and slow across the country with our Flying Cowboy compadres, and we're just trying to promote aviation to folks. We started with this venture of putting pictures online and creating videos and YouTube stuff, and next thing you know, all of a sudden we feel sort of responsible to continue it because we realize that, holy cow, we're actually touching people, and it's inspiring us to continue and just put more out there.
Oh, my gosh. And the response that we get, you know, there's a spirit about it. When you have a aviator who might be a rusty pilot who hasn't flown in 20 years and he comes up to you and says, hey, you know, Flying Cowboys, you guys are responsible for me to get active again. I just took my flight review and we're like, welcome back to the family. Yep. And then you've got the 16-year-old or the 18-year-old student pilot who came up and said, oh, I watched Trent Palmer on YouTube, and now I'm getting my pilot's license. I just placed an order for a Kit Fox. My dad and I are going to build this airplane in our garage. Thank you so much.
It's inspirational for us.
Welcome to the family. And that's really what
awesome.
This is it's a family of aviators. We want to spread it as wide and as far as possible. And that advocacy effort is super important to the Flying Cowboys. And that's really what we're all about.
And I love seeing this next generation of young aviators, these kids that are 8 and 10 years old. They come up and they see Trent or Corey or any of the Cowboys, and they're starstruck in a sense. We're just normal human beings. I want to feel like anybody can come up to us. We're approachable. But I like grabbing that kid and putting him in the airplane. You know, I had a little kid the other day, this little boy, Jake, I think he was 8 or 10. I said to him, how much time you got in your dad's airplane? He says, about 3 hours. I said, well, get in there and sit there. Sit for an hour. You're going to have 4 when you leave. And you know, that's what it's really about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and as we hear time and time again, social media, in this case YouTube, and your videos have really spread the message, and made you actually internet sensations, if we can say that. Kind of. Okay. But it really expands your reach beyond just where you might be at your local airport or going cross country or in some of the other fly-ins,
right,
and things you've done.
We're taking it to them.
Yeah.
We're going to where they're already at. You know, if you've got these kids watching video game videos on YouTube or they're watching memes or whatever, you might as well put some aviation in there to
they're
mix it up.
They're at home playing Minecraft.
Yeah.
And aviation is cool.
Yeah. And everybody's got, you know, the internet is really where people are these days. It's in your pocket. And so if we can put aviation in front of people, no matter where they're at, they can be sitting anywhere on the planet, they're going to have the internet with them. We might as well put aviation in front of them.
We've been given an opportunity to promote aviation, and we're not taking it lightly. You know,
right,
it's become a responsibility to be professional, do it safely, inspire folks to get proper training, hone their skills. And again, like I say, we're grateful to be part of it.
And a lot of this came from just doing some backcountry flying. That's sort of
where
this all started.
Really?
Absolutely. And how I really connect with that is you've got the wonderful thing that is aviation, and then you combine it with the outdoors and with nature, which I really gravitate towards as well. And most everybody does, really.
Right.
I mean, backcountry in and of itself, whether it's hiking or whatever the case may be, is huge. It's the number one thing that people do is get out and go with nature, whether you're mountain biking or hill climbing or whatever. Well, we do it with airplanes.
And people realize that these airplanes that the common folk fly, literally, they can do that. The day of the $100 hamburger is sort of a thing of the past. You can make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, throw it in your backpack, go land on a river bar, or on a mountaintop or out in a field, go for a hike. You've got away from the concrete jungle, and freedom is out there, and there's a lot of opportunities other than just going from airport to airport.
Right. I can't wait for the trip home after you say that. I mean, I can't. We're going to go on a northern route through the South Dakota area. Oh, I can't wait to just
Mount Rushmore.
Connect again. Absolutely.
What aircraft are you flying, by the way?
Kevin and I fly almost identical Carbon Cub aircraft.
I have a 1953 Cessna 180 that I've turned into sort of the family grocery getter. It's an incredible stole aircraft. But I also have a Carbon Cub, and it's the dune buggy of the backcountry.
Absolutely. They're so amazing.
And when people thought about backcountry flying, that was the big Tundra tires, and you're just landing in basically unimproved areas. But there are a number of places that now have, you know, actually not paved, but improvements,
absolutely,
campsites, and facilities that
you can go through
encourage
the
people to come.
Entire backcountry in Idaho, Montana, Washington, the Pacific Northwest. There's places with these beautiful grass strips that are maintained, and people can go in there with 600-inch wheels, you know, the 600-inch tire, and
camp and hang out. Yeah, there's just a small, normal tires. You can take a stock Cessna 172, for example. There's an organization called the RAF, and they actually are great airstrip advocates that are not necessarily your paved airstrips. It could be gravel.
Yep.
It can be manicured grass. These are fantastic places to take any aircraft really into. I mean, there's a little bit of a skill set that you want to be aware of and have a little bit of a respect for it. So don't just go into the
backcountry. Now you're dealing with the mountain environment, the density, altitude, things of that nature. So we promote proper training.
Yeah, so just make sure that you have that comfort level to be able to nail your spot or whatever the case may be so you can accomplish that safely. But get out there and join these organizations and get into the backcountry. It'll blow your mind.
Set your tent up. There's nobody around. Grab your fishing pole. Walk 30 feet. Catch a fish. Have a great lunch. And you're away from it all.
I can't wait. Let's go to Idaho right after Oshkosh.
The opportunity that we have is awesome. And we just want to promote that. I start to feel like, you know, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker preaching the gospel. But, I mean, we are.
Come fly bush planes with us.
That's what I feel like.
Well, not only backcountry flying now, but you have now broken into the big time. You will be at Reno in a new class
of
racers.
We will be at Reno. In fact, all of you folks here listening at Osh today, come and meet the Stole Drag racers. Many of them are over here at the Ultralight Field this evening doing Twilight Fest.
Yep.
But we'll be at the Rah Rah booth today, booth 459 at 2 o'clock, signing and doing a meet and greet for all those that are interested in Stole Drag. We hope everybody comes to a chance to say hello. But really, we started our Stole Drag at the High Sierra Fly-In out in the desert. It has grown to this phenomenon that's catching fire to where now we are the first new class coming to Reno in 26 years since the Jet class. We went to the Pylon Racing School. We taught our Stole Drag course to the FAA, to all the various racing classes at Reno, and we left there with high fives and handshakes from the FAA saying that, you know, boy, we really like this. This sounds good. It looks safe. We like your training document, your outline, your procedures, policies, and let's make this happen. Let's go and put the show on the road. And so now being able to do this at Reno and put this in front of a stage that really anybody can come and stole drag race. You can come to the High Sierra Fly-In in October and literally try to qualify to race at Reno next year. We have this year, I believe, close to 150 folks coming to the High Sierra Fly-In to try to qualify as one of those top 16. So all the top 16 this year that are going to Reno, they're on the hot seat. And so now there's this competitive draw to be part of that, and we want to take that so that we have the Southeast, the Eastern, the Midwest, and everybody can have a chance to qualify, and then we have a national championship. And really what's unique, and I don't mean to be so long-winded, but you go to these awesome air shows, most of this stuff that these people are watching is not obtainable for them. I will never be able to fly a P-51 Mustang. Well, I hope I will be, but I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to be a Blue Angel or a Thunderbird. But everybody that comes to Stole Drag and sees Stole Drag, we're racing 182s, we're racing Skywagons, we're racing Cirrus, we're racing Beavers, Carbon Cubs, Kit Foxes.
I can't believe it. It's fundamental skills development, too.
Right.
How a Stole Drag race works, it's actually quite simple, and that's what makes it so exciting. You have two aircraft. They're on a line. Like a traditional stole contest, right? So you take off, you fly down a race course, and Reno's a different length than High Sierra, but the length really doesn't matter. There's a line, which is a turnaround line. You land on or after that line. You come to a complete stop on heading, you turn around and do it again. And so you're developing fundamental skills. You're taking off, you're doing a precision forward slip to landing on a spot, you're coming to a stop on heading, and you're turning around and doing it again.
Energy management, do that? Power management, whole lot of skills that need to be taking place during that.
So the exciting thing for us is we're starting to see a movement of pilots developing their fundamental skills again.
Right.
Most pilots don't do anything after they're private, and they kind of...
We're encouraging training.
Yeah, we're encouraging people to be better pilots, and we're giving them an exciting reason to do it.
Yep.
And if you really break it down to it, stall drag is... And that's what's special about
it. I'm looking at it on Jumbotron. That's stall drag.
That is stall drag. You know? You've got Steve Henry and Trent Palmer there. And
two of the best.
Two of the best stall pilots there are, racing head-to-head, side-by-side.
100 miles an hour, 50 feet apart, side-by-side. They get halfway down the course. You got to pull the power. You throw it into a slip because now this is energy management.
Right.
Slide to the line, you land on or after the line, come to a complete stop, spin around, like you say, full power all the way back. Here it comes again. Here's that line. Power management back.
Is it September yet?
Slow down. Oh,
is it September yet?
It's almost.
Awesome. September 11th through the 15th at the Reno Air Races. I cannot wait. How many days is that? It's like, oh, I can't wait.
And let's again, go. We're at the Rah-Rah booth today, booth 459 at 2
o'clock.
You can come meet the stall drag racers. Everybody wants to meet Mike Patey and Draco.
Right.
It's modern-day Howard Hughes. Draco's coming to the stall drag. And so, you know, come say hello to us today over at the Rah-Rah booth.
Oh, I am so excited. I cannot wait.
It sounds that way.
No,
Kevin Quinn and Corey Robin with the Flying Cowboys, and congratulations on the new class at Reno. We'll look forward to seeing it, if not in person, at least on the internet, and we'll be looking forward to it and hearing more about
it. I hope we put
activities.
It right out here on the grass next year, right in front of the crowd here at Oshkosh.
That's what I was just thinking.
Dennis hashtag Stole Drag Osh 2020.
Hashtag tell Dennis.
Guys, thanks for joining us this morning. You're listening to From the Stand on EIA Radio.